Good evening, everyone. I'm glad you waited. We're here. We were having phone challenges. This is Jackie Salvitti with ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness with my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everybody. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, we're thrilled to have you, darling. And tonight we're going to do something different. Tonight Veronica's going to interview me, and I don't have to be the conductor of the train. And the reason this is really kind of fun is we did Veronica interviewed me last Sunday on a pre-recorded for her wonderful show, Paradigm Shifters, which airs on Tuesdays on BBS at 5 p.m. after her other wonderful call-in show, which is at 4 p.m. on Tuesdays. And a lot of things came out. It seems that, you know, it just worked out really well. And Veronica is an incredible, her abilities as an interviewer are marvelous.
Thank you.
We thought that we would try this for the show because Veronica comes up with wonderful questions, and I tend to be a person that doesn't ask questions.
What do you mean by that?
This, our personal dialogue, which is pretty funny. She'll say, well, why did you ask? And I'm always like, I didn't ask. Which is something I seem to never do. So it's really fun, and I think we're going to have some fun with this tonight because hopefully she'll ask questions that will be able to address some of the things maybe some of you are wondering. And also our goal is to help people understand the process, the team, in a more intimate way so that people aren't afraid of the whole concept of what are extraterrestrials or star beings. You know, this is something that is always a big thing to me that, I really hope that people will get, and I'm not certain I can always bring that through because I'm so used to it. It's very different, you know. And tonight's dedication.
Sometimes it's like a fish talking all about water, isn't it, for you?
Yes, it is. Actually, this has been a whole life for me. I just assumed everybody knew. Tonight's dedication is all about our economy. And, I'm going to say that a wonderful person sent me her latest thing that she sends out. She doesn't have a regular mailing list like you would have or a website, but her programming suggestions, programming being, you know, focusing energy, light, love, and you guys can, you know, pretty much pick whatever ones, you know, really resonate for you. But I love this, so I'm just going to read them. The housing prices stabilize, default rates and foreclosures improve, banks report positive earnings. That brilliant solutions abound for everything. That the U.S. economy rebounds, and financial safety and security for all. And I just thought these were really wonderful.
Are these affirmations?
Well, no. These are actually things that you can choose to work on. And you know, every morning when you're doing your morning meditation or your little prayers or whatever anybody does.
Mm-hmm.
When I say little prayers, not to demean them. To focus on one aspect or a number of them, whatever you want, but we need to be actively, all of us, involved in taking responsibility that, and knowing that we can have an impact on these things. So, this is really big, and it's not just for the housing. If housing prices stabilize, everything in the country and actually on the globe is impacted. Because people don't realize how one thing can have a snowball effect on everything else, which it is right now.
Mm.
Also, real quickly before we jump into the interview, hot off the press, as always, my darling squirrel sent, this is, again, what's up on planetearth.com, no apostrophe. Karen Bishop, who is wonderful, and the lead-in is something wonderful is about to happen, and she goes into what's going to happen in October, how thrilling a time this is going to be for everyone, that we're in the lull of the storm right now, And, you know, she says things, this goes back to the meditation that the team did the other night, a couple of weeks ago, how really powerful our thoughts are right now, and so many people are having little things crop up, and it's so important not to go into fear, and to remember that our thoughts are manifesting so quickly right now. So there's never been a time more important than right now to stay in the positive. I mean, you know, she mentions in here, I don't want to read the whole thing, about when you get home at night, you know, lock the door, turn off the television, turn off the computer, you know, read a book, you know, bake, you know, take a hot bath, do something wonderful for yourself. But this is a really, really important time. And October is just going to absolutely blossom. So if you get a chance, go on to her website and read this latest, what she calls What's Up on Planet Earth. You'll love what she's got to say. It's very exciting. Exciting times ahead for us, everybody.
Could you, excuse me just for a minute, could you relist that, the suggestions of what to program? I thought that was a wonderful list.
That the housing crisis stabilize.
Okay.
That the default rates and foreclosures improve. That banks report positive earnings. Now, she also has in here that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's outcome and future is brilliant. A lot of you may not know what that is, but these are the largest lending institutions in our country. They actually market and sell. They buy all of the mortgages and then put them onto the stock market. And then all of the banks borrow money from Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. This is very important stuff. The brilliant solutions abound. And this is kind of like dreaming the dreamers awake, but it's so positive. Brilliant solutions abound. The U.S. economy rebounds. And financial safety and security for all.
Rebounds in financial safety and security.
That U.S. economy rebounds, and the next one is financial safety and security for all. These are really important. And, you know, this goes along also with the channeling that came through Galexis. That we can, no matter what's going on out there, we tend to think that we can't do anything about it. This is the time for all of us to remember that we can have impact. This is reclaiming our magic, our ability. That's what we came here to do, to be here during this extraordinary time, and to use our energies, our love, and our light to focus it not only on our own lives, but to very much pick up things that we feel attached to and start sending light and energy to them. I feel it's incredibly important. I know for me, a lot of things have been coming up around children and hunger and animals. And, you know, I've found myself sending so much energy to these areas. But the economy is a huge issue. And, you know, if you go on to... again, on to Karen Bishop's website, What's Up on Planet Earth. What she talks about October is so exciting. I'm so thrilled. I'm so thrilled. So we have some wonderful times ahead for us. And this is the time to be really focusing our energy so that when October hits, things can start really blossoming again.
And I've been cogitating something a lot lately, which is how we're learning the personal power that we can make a difference and so on, and who we really are is our power. And I was chuckling away going, there's so many people getting off into creating their own power source, right? And the whole economic global problems that have been oil-based, that whole power thing, everything is kind of all aligned to move us from personal power right up through these economic greed power things that are morphing, kind of, or could be morphing.
They are morphing.
Yes. You see what I mean? I'm going, oh, just the word power alone is just an amazing thing.
Well, I think because so many people have rejected the whole concept of power,
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. because they associated power with corruption, power with abuse. Lots of people have rejected prosperity because they have so much judgment on people that are prosperous. So we have to be really clean and clear when we do this, not to be pushing against anything, but coming in very positive.
And the dissemblement has to, I mean, it's just morphing, isn't it?
Yes, that's the natural evolution. Things will disassemble and reassemble as long as we put our focus on the positive outcome. That's all we have to worry about. That's our goal. That's where we need to put our energy right now.
Well, I'm very pleased that she wrote that October can be a very, very exciting time.
Oh, it's just, believe me, when you get done with the show, go on and read it, everyone. And if not, read it first thing in the morning with your coffee or tea. It's a wonderful way to start your day. All right, Ronnie, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Right. Well, you know, speaking of you and personal power and the journey that you've been on, we've been talking a lot about the various learning curves that you've had in your life. And I want to go in three directions, which is so typical. But anyway, I want to say right now, physically, you've come through some really big health challenges, and you're, what would you say, you're out of those right now, and you're kind of in a new level of your own power. But what's interesting to me, besides being glad for you, it's really interesting for us to think and remember that a lot of these healing situations you've gone through are for a really good reason. They're for, what would you say? They're a really wonderful process reason. Do you want to talk about that?
You mean my own personal healing?
Yeah, it's just that you've been through, and I know I talked a bit with Ginger about this on the last show, and the, a lot of healing people go through a lot of very intense physical traumatic illnesses, right?
Well, yes. Yes, health has been a huge challenge for me in this lifetime.
Yes.
And it started very young. But I think so much of this was because I took on so much in this lifetime that it was bound to show up in my body. I had great ideas about, you know, exposure to all kinds of things and all forms of human emotion. But I think that the damage it did, you know, I knew at some point I would be dealing with healing. And I've had certainly some miraculous intervention, you know, big time. But the process of the healing, and I want to make it clear here, I never expect that the team will fix me because of what I do, or that I'm entitled to anything. That is not part of my nature. If I have an issue, I recognize that it's something I need to deal with and get down into it and get into the emotional aspects of it. And the other part of that has been that in the expansion that I've gone through, in dealing in these very cosmic energies, the problem I've had is being able to be integrated as a human so that I could function more easily. And, you know, so in order to expand out as far as I needed to go, I left myself very vulnerable to a lot of things.
So you mean you kind of came in and took on a whole lot of the human difficulty and condition and emotional stuff and limitations and so on?
Well, I think it was imperative, and from what I understand from them, that my goal was to get programmed, let's see how I put this, to be imprinted.
Hello? Are you back, girl?
A momentary vacation.
So you were telling me earlier, and this is really interesting, how you had awareness before you came into the body this time, that you had a conversation about what you were taking on, right?
Well, this was pretty funny. It was which was a shock. It was Archangel Michael was there with me before I came in, and he was concerned about whether or not I was going to make it, and it made me laugh to think how much my personality on the other side of the veil was so much like it is now, because the last thing I said was, don't worry, I'll be fine. And so, you know, there was total understanding that this was, and even as a child, I knew I was being prepared for something. I had no idea what it was. But no matter what was done, you know, no matter where I was, with all the 13 foster homes, all the places I had to live, and all of the circumstances, which were pretty rough, I felt that there was a purpose for me being there. And, of course, there was. It was to take in familial dynamics. And so, in essence, really what I was able to glean was a variety of familial dynamics that most people would never get in one lifetime. And also understanding emotions in a very, very, very intense way. So I was exposed to a lot of different kinds of, a lot. a lot of different kinds of emotions. So in essence, I ended up with the imprint, and, you know, if you think of it as a learning expedition, it's very much been a learning expedition. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of pre-programmed for everything so that working with people, I could, you know, when people call, they know they can identify, that I can identify with their experience, even though I'm in channel or whatever, but they feel comfortable with me because no matter what their life experience has been, I have been exposed to it at some level.
Tell me this, do you think that, you know, you remember when you were coming in and you spoke with Michael the Archangel and so on, but do you remember being in, like, for example, other lives or between lives?
No.
Where you don't remember any of that?
No. I've had some spontaneous rememberings in this lifetime, one in particular that I probably won't talk about, but that was very much a guiding experience in this lifetime, and it had to do with the seeding that took place during the time of Christ, that was a seeding for this time, and I was absolutely, Mary Magdalene would appear to me, this started happening, it was very disconcerting, and there would be a beam of light coming out of my belly, and going back to that time, and she kept saying, you have to complete what we started then, you have to complete what we... And I would just think, great, what the hell does that mean? So you could definitely call me one who was rather reluctant. Not that I wasn't willing, I just didn't know what the hell to do.
And so did you figure it out?
Well, it's kind of happened.
Well, where my questioning was coming from was I was thinking about how, you know, to me you're very universal. When I look at your journey, I see, and, you know, I see a lot of things, and I see great, like, these gold threads going out to all kinds of multidimensional existence. And I was wondering what your relationship with is. I suspect how it looks to me is that you have a strong relationship with some of the members of your team off planet, even when you're not in body.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's the sort of questioning I was...
Yes, absolutely.
And that's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Well,
it's like it's not about... Okay, so when you go through life and you have all these incredible experiences and we all go, oy vey, I wouldn't want to have all of that, and I see these limitations running through your system and then being pulled out, oftentimes through the mission of your illnesses, if you want, and all the work
okay.
that you've done, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you get clearer and clearer, and I go, Boy, sometimes I feel like you're kind of ready to launch. Not that I'm saying you're dying, but it's like you're getting ready to launch and be more universal and not restricted by the physical dimension.
Well, I believe that we can do that in this. That's what we're here to do in this lifetime.
Right, okay.
And the key for me was figuring out how to do it and be able to stay here and do it. And that has been, I think, the ultimate challenge for me.
But you're succeeding, aren't you?
Oh, I am now.
I guess what's fascinating is that we can look at the various illnesses and maladies that you've had to go through and consider them all a cleansing process.
Well, you know, cancer, and I'll talk about cancer for a minute because that's such a, I think a lot of people didn't know that I had been dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
And cancer is the shadow of the body. And because we've done so much shadow work, and I was working with the shadow years ago when I got this cancer, and I was working with the shadow, and then I started working with the shadow of Earth. And then I got cancer, and I went, just freaking great. Now I've got the shadow of the body.
I took on the shadow of the whole Earth.
Well, and because cancer is so frightening to people, because it comes, no one knows where it is. It's hidden. It's stuck in the body somewhere, and people are terrified. If you have it, you could get it back. You don't know where else it's hidden.
Right.
And and my work with the cancer was very different than most people's. I loved it. And I knew that that was the answer, that it was a gift, and that I had to love it. I had to work with it, that it was there to show me something, to teach me something, that being afraid of it was the absolute worst thing I could do.
But did you have to go through a transition that got you to not be afraid of it or not to?
No. Somehow I knew instantly that this was me walking my talk.
Hmm.
And I knew it the moment I was told.
Hmm.
And I put off surgery for 2 weeks, and I told the doctor, I must work with this tumor. I have to love this tumor. I have a blueprint for miracles, and I believe we all do. And I said, so it could be gone by the time that you do the surgery, and I need you to hold that vision. And so I literally had to stay every moment in love with this tumor.
Oh, my.
And pour love into it, put my hands on it. I continued to go to yoga because it was very big. And you know, my yoga instructors and other people, it was very quiet. Nobody made a big deal. But even in various times of yoga, you know, when you would be laying very quiet with your eyes closed, my yoga teacher would come up and put his hands on it. Or it was a very honoring process, and everybody around me honored it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually one of the most magical times of my life. And I can say that absolutely. But it was a process, and then it came back. And dealing with it, I have known that when it was gone, that meant that I had finally cleared all the anger, all the everything that needed to come out. And so I never, you know, I don't explain this.
But you have the confidence to know that it's a clearing and not something that's just going to have to run your life.
It's not a punishment, and it's not going to kill me.
Right.
And I think that's the... but I had to believe that so totally. But that's the way the body has incredible ability to heal itself. And it begins in the mind. And the mind, the minute you decide, the brain starts setting off chemicals and immediately goes to work on the body. This is how quickly, you know, this is where I love Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, his website, drjoedispenza.com, DISPENZA. His work is brilliant, and the team was dealing with someone today, and they started espousing Dr. Dispenza and really went into this beautiful channeling about, you know, the brain and brought him back into my mind. And Joe was in the movie What the Bleep Do We Know. He was the young chiropractor that talked about creating his day.
He was so wonderful.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful soul.
Mm-hmm.
But his work has been with spontaneous healing. And, you know, that has really, just now, scientists are really, really beginning to work with the ability that we have, and Bashar has talked about it as well. So,
well, I guess one of the interesting things is that you have, ever since you were tiny and having that awareness that you're going to be doing something really different and powerful, and you kind of got through these awful situations.
I knew I was being prepared for something. I did not know what it was.
So how many people do you think know that they're, what I mean is, how do people get to the point where they don't have to go into fear that that trigger, that knee-jerk reaction? They just have to keep training themselves so they don't go into that knee-jerk reaction, right?
That is really, you know, we live in a loving universe. And we have been trained to go to fear. Fear is the thing that holds this planet together. It holds the limitations together.
Yikes.
If we can overcome fear, there is no limit to what we can do. Fear is the single biggest issue on this planet that has held us in prison. Without fear, we reclaim who we are, our magic and our wonder. But overcoming fear or dealing with fear is a training process. It's retraining. You have to constantly pull the mind back. Because it's the mind that goes to fear. And the only way it can go to fear is the minute it jumps into the past or the future. Which is why living in the now is so incredibly important. And it's a constant process. I had a huge thing with IRS once. And it was so big, and it's not that long ago, it was a couple of years ago. It had been going on for 5 years, and it was so hairy. And settling out for all those years after I died, everything in my life, you know, financially was a disaster. So I was in an offer and negotiations trying to put this all to bed. And it came up to a deadline, and everybody got very nasty, and I was like, oh, my Lord. And I had to stay out of fear. Absolutely had to, and I had been wonderful up to that point, you know, for it to go on that long, have that hanging. And, but then there was this deadline put on, and it was very big, and it was very nasty, and so on. And I would wake up in the middle of the night, and immediately, again, a bizarre thing, every experience is neutral. I intend to experience only good from this, no matter what's intended. I mean, I had to repeat it. I must have said it 100 times a day.
Can you say it again so if people want to copy it down?
Okay. Every experience is neutral. No matter what is intended, I intend to experience only good from this. And I did. And it ended up being a miracle. And according to the attorney, they settled. You know, I hate to say this, so it's a little loud with the radio. They settled the day before my taxes were due. They would have gotten a lot more money had they waited one more day. Because I would have had to have declared income if they just would have waited one more day. They didn't.
Isn't that wonderful?
So, you know, I kept saying to the attorney, are you sure? And he said, absolutely. He said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. He said, because this is unheard of. And I said, okay. So, I mean, I know this stuff works. I've lived it. That I think that's what gives me the confidence to go out with, you know, working with the team and everything that happens. My confidence comes from having to walk through all my personal experiences and seeing it work over and over and over again.
Oh, wonderful. Well, can we talk to the team, Jeff?
Absolutely. Let me go on the channel here.
Thank you for all that. Wonderful to hear her personal story, personal journeying.
All right. We're here. We are here. Welcome, Veronica, and welcome to all of you listening out there. We love you all, and we're excited to be here. And, Veronica, we're going to let you ask questions. All right. This is your show tonight. You're asking the questions, which is very good.
Right. I'm enjoying learning various things, and I would like to ask you about your connection with Jackie. I know you've said that you come from many different places, and you're not all aligned with Jackie all of the time, are you?
Oh, that's a very difficult question.
Well, I don't need to be difficult.
All right. Well, no, but you do. All right.
And so, basically, so my question was,
we're going to modify part of this because she doesn't know all of it.
Okay.
And it's not time for her to know all of it.
Oh, okay.
All right. So,
but you can tell us.
Well, we're going to modify it to this degree. And the reason we don't tell her everything, because if she knew everything, it would interfere with her process. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
All right. Does she know each and every being that's participating in this work? No. Not personally, the way you would think of. Has she been exposed to a good portion of those that, well, to those, has she been exposed to those that are intimately involved in all of this? Yes. You asked a very good question earlier, which is, all right, is there a part of her on the other side of the veil that is participating? And now this one is going to be difficult, all right? In terms of the way that she is, her relationship with soul and so on, in terms of manifestations of soul, now this is, we don't like to normally give this kind of information, but we will. All right? Mm-hmm. There is this current physical incarnation and another incarnation on the other side of the veil. Now, normally, there are other incarnations from the soul, all at the same timing, not time. Notice we said timing. So if you took a spiral, Veronica,
mm-hmm.
All right, remember all lifetimes are simultaneous, but not in the same timing, all right?
Okay.
So if you took the spiral, all right, in all the lifetimes that Jackie has, all right, are all happening on this spiral, in this particular timing, there are only two. The one that you are aware of that we're speaking through now, and the one on the other side of the veil. That means that there's a lot more soul energy in those two incarnations. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
This is very rare.
That they're more powerful, stronger soul?
Not
soul
stronger
presentation.
More soul energy.
Okay.
Because of the magnitude of what's going on here. Does that make sense to you? We don't want to glorify her because she would get very upset, and that's not the goal here. All right? But she is different in that respect. All right, and she needed someone over there, over here. So does she, in fact, move back and forth? Yes. Is there a very strong connection between the one on the other side of the veil that is doing this work and the one on this side of the veil? Very much so. And the soul energy is involved in those two incarnations because of the magnitude of what's going on. All right. Now, so in a way, she's very involved with all, but not all. And the reason we would say this is because there are so many observers that are coming. Do you understand what we're saying?
Yes.
All right. Does that answer sufficiently your question? If you have more questions, go ahead and ask. We have no problem with that.
Part of my questioning was, has a lot of this lifetime, considering the two strong souls on either side that are actually Jackie.
Two strong beings that are, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, two strong beings with, yeah.
Of the same soul, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, and I was just wondering about other lives. Like, has she been around the universe with you all before? Do you see what I mean? And come into the earth from that? Has that been the way she's prepared?
All right.
Maybe she's an ET.
Almost definitely.
See?
But then so are you.
Oh, good.
All right. Originally. Okay. All right.
Yes, and I'm being partly cheeky, but partly real that we need to understand.
All right, let us explain it this way.
Okay.
Again, we have to be careful with some of this information. All right. Now, this part she's aware of. We're getting permission, so please be aware of this, that there has to be an agreement. All right.
Okay.
All right. Her particular role has been very involved in creating consciousness on planets. This is one of the things that she loves to do.
Mm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, and there are others of the team that have been involved as well.
And you might have to speak a bit louder.
There are others of the team that have been involved as well.
Oh, wonderful.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what she loves to do. Now, we can't say much more than that because it's too much information. And each one of you have your own role in terms of discovery. Do you understand?
Yes.
That is a gradual process, and too much information sometimes can hurt you instead of help you. Because you don't always know what to do with it. You know, well, if I'm all that, let me snap my fingers and create. It doesn't always work that way. All right. So, we would say this to everyone listening out there. You are all far more than you know. And you're playing small because that's what you agreed to do on Earth, to take on these limitations, which are great. But the real you, it's very big. Does that help, Veronica?
Yes, it does. Are we, you asked for permission a while back. Are we allowed to, like, when we recognize limitations that we've agreed to, are we allowed to break free from those?
Absolutely.
So it's just in the recognition?
How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go? Now, hold on a minute. The one that you know as Jesus. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Came in. And taking on human incarnation took on limitations because of the collective, and then had to find his way out of those limitations. This is the part that's not published. The story you get is that he came in, had it all, knew it all, did it all. That's not true. It was a process. Just the same for all of you. It's a process. Overcoming limitations, overcoming fear, overcoming greed, overcoming avarice, overcoming all of the, well, the emotional damage, lineage, nationality, the things that come in that color who you are, and astrology, numerology, all of these things. They're influences. Can they be overcome? Can they be cleared? Yes.
Can you put the crucifixion in that context? How would you explain that? Did Jesus have to do it that way?
Well, we would explain it to you this way. Now, this is you're going to have to wrap around this one. There was more than one probable reality. And this is the one that's difficult for lots of people to understand. There was more than one probable reality. The next question would be, you mean there's versions of the truth? Yes and no. We'll put it to you this way. We did a meditation with all of you about connecting with your optimum future, which would imply that there are other futures which exist in this now moment. Likewise, there are other paths. Does that help?
It does. And they all are, when we create our preferred futures, we have usually a goal in mind, don't we? What I mean is, like, back to my question about Jesus, I go, could he have released a lot of his limitations in that particular future without having to have been put through such pain?
Who said he experienced?
I guess I made that assumption.
Yes, you did. He was able to transcend the physical to the degree that he did not experience pain.
Uh-huh. That's so rarely presented in all the stories, isn't it?
Of course, because it's too empowering. That would mean that if he could do it, so could others. That it was possible to do that. And if it's possible to conquer or overcome death, oh goodness, who could control you? Because death is the one thing on this planet that everyone fears. Don't they?
Yes, that's true. Or, yes, most people anyway.
Very seldom do you ever meet anyone that has no fear around them.
That's right.
Now, you'll meet more today, but certainly in the past. That is really, as a child loses their innocence, comes the fear of death. Now, certainly they feel invincible, but nevertheless, there is still that nagging fear of death.
So the stories of Jesus could have been a key out of that fear in a way, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And for many of us, I think there is some truth in that. anyway, I didn't mean to go off into Jesus, except it's such a powerful story, and it is a story of pain and transformation.
It is a story of pain. Because that was a good way to control people, that they were responsible for his suffering.
But the fact that we always heard that he suffered so we could be free, it's kind of part of the same picture.
Well, it definitely a manipulation and abuse of the truth.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
All right.
And are you pleased with how consciousness is going on the planet right now?
We are excited. We are very excited to see the amount of breakthrough that people are making in relationship to many different things. Empowerment is the key. For people to take back their power is the key. Now, if you're empowered and you know who you are, the threat, the fear of connecting with races other than yourself is greatly limited, isn't it? Your ability to change outcomes, to focus energy, attention, love, light into positive futures, greatly enhanced, but only when you believe you're powerful enough to do so. So we would say, yes, we're excited. We see people bonding together. And certainly your internet has been the key to bring people together all over your planet. But yes, we are excited.
Do you see the critical mass yet? Do you think we're changing fast enough to really make a difference right now?
Oh, absolutely.
Now? Yes, it looks like it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
There is no question about it. That doesn't mean that people should, well, you're using one of your slang terms, slack off.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's not the answer here.
Well, I should think we would build up in, well, then I'll jump to 2012. I often feel like it's kind of when the changeover is really heightened, that by that time maybe so many of us will be moving that way, that the world will seem very, very different. Well, will be very, very different.
Well, you're going to see the world very different before 2012.
Wonderful.
We would say that everyone listening to this program is going to see their world very differently, very shortly. And the more that you accept that, the faster it will change for you. Taking responsibility is one of the big keys here. And the more responsibility you take for your world, the faster it will change for you. You cannot be a victim and get there, Veronica. You understand what we're saying?
Mm-hmm. So you say, when you say taking responsibility, you mean for all of your thoughts and feelings and the magic that's possible from within?
Yes, and directing that. Believing that you can have impact. Here we go back to the same thing. You're huge beings pretending to be small. And when you overcome fear, you automatically expand. Fear is the contracting energy. It's the very energy that has held you captive, held you small. Hasn't it?
Yes.
Fear that you're not enough, fear that you're bad, fear that you, you know, as you just talked about Jesus, that you killed Jesus. Fear, fear, fear. Old fears, fears that if you come out, you'll be somehow persecuted or tortured or, you know, all of this stuff sitting in the collective still. But it's deluding now.
recognizing where it is and what it is, and it's brain patterns, what it is, isn't it? Just breaking out of those.
Well, it's cellular. It is brain patterns. It's, again, the more you train yourself, the faster you will shift. The faster you will shift. You're utilizing everything all at the same time. How do you begin your day? You know, the reason we work with the energies of appreciating, appreciation, joy, gratitude, that frequency alone, every time you go into a fear thought or anything else, moving right back to gratitude, joy, appreciation, finding something, anything. Abraham talks about it as, you know, when you don't feel good, you know, do something that you love, that makes you feel good, pet the cat. As long as that feels good, or the dog, or whatever. Well, it's a simplified version, but it's the same thing, you see. Being aware of resonance. What creates high resonance? How do I get there? I've had a crappy day at work, so you come home and make everyone else miserable. Well, that's really wonderful for the planet, for your energy field, for everyone in your energy field. Those times are over. That's a luxury none of you have.
And we certainly won't need it.
Well, you don't need it as long as you don't believe you need it. But there are still plenty of people that want to be unhappy. They're used to it. And those are the people that we really recommend that you spend a lot less time interacting with. You don't need to be in their drama. They're used to. This is their way of getting attention. Oh, woe is me. Let me tell you my latest sad story. They haven't recognized yet that they can change their lives.
We have to draw to a close, but I would really like to ask one more question, which is too long to really answer, but I was thinking how important it is that more and more people are connected to higher guidance rather than just the emotions of people around them or what's pumped in from fear-based media.
We couldn't agree with you more. Now, we know that many of you are doing your best to connect with your higher selves, your guides, looking for answers, trying to feel that connection. And we would say that more and more you're going to be able to. More and more you're going to be able to. Now, the whole universe is there. It's neutral. It's a quantum field. It will feed back to you what you desire. Work with it.
And we unfortunately have to leave.
All right. We would like to take one moment. One moment now. To blend our energies with everyone that's listening, whether you're listening tonight or whatever time you may decide to listen to this program. As we surround you in our love, and remind you of how amazing each and every one of you are. There's nothing you've done in your life, nothing that you have to feel bad about. Let it go. It's done. It's over. Let go of the past. Let go. The most important thing you can do right now is to love you. Forgive you for anything that you feel that was a mistake. Let it go. We would love it if you would call us in tonight, each and every one of you. We would be happy to work with you. In whatever way is most appropriate for each and every one of you, we will never, ever do anything to hurt you. That is not our intent. We love you. Veronica, we love you. It's always a joy to be with you.
Thank you so much for all your information tonight. It's wonderful.
We remind each of you to find a reason to be in joy. Find something to appreciate and anything to be grateful for. Even if it's the sun, it's your life, it's the movement of your hands or your feet. The lovely bed you sleep in, whatever it may be. Every moment of the day, try to be in those energies. You'll be amazed at how it will change your life. We love you all. Namaste.
Namaste. Any blessing?
Veronica, are we on?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Veronica, and we love you all so much. Remember that a piece of Veronica and I are in each and every one of you, and you are in each and every one of you are in us. It can be no other way. We really are all one. We love you so much, and we'll talk with you next week, same time. Until then, many blessings. Good night.
Good night.